Something else I thought was interesting, and a lot of women call in, and, you know, it's very unfortunate. I was reading something about filing taxes, and, you know, most people that are married file joint because it supposedly is an advantage. But it's only advantage, and Tracy, you'll want to chirp in on this one. It's only an advantage if you have a spouse that pays bills and pays taxes. Because when you jointly sign for something, if your spouse, the person that you buy it with, doesn't pay bills, it's going to affect you.
Absolutely. That affects credit, like, dramatically.
Right.
It's always better to separate credit.
So you really, before you buy something with someone, even if you're going to marry them, if they don't have that reliability factor or job stability, or it happened to a friend of mine. She was getting divorced. Her husband was an architect. So he, you know, was responsible, and her part of the settlement was that she would get the house because she had two kids and they were living with her. And so she didn't want to live in the same house that she was with her husband because she was upset by the divorce. So she bought and put the down payment on another house. She went to the closing to collect the money so that she could close on the new home that she bought. And when she got to the closing, the IRS was there. And her husband had not, you know, paid taxes for 4 years.
Wow.
And she had no idea because, you know, if you're married and your husband's paying the taxes, you assume he paid. Well, he never paid them, and the IRS confiscated all the money. And she had no money to buy the other house. And
it's terrible.
Thank goodness, yeah. But thank goodness, in her case, her parents helped her out. But really, you have to be very careful with that. Well, they passed a new thing. It's called the Innocent Spouse Relief. Innocent Spouse Relief. And this new ruling allows taxpayers to seek relief from their spouses, even if they signed a joint return. Okay, in the past, the IRS required taxpayers to file for relief within 2 years after a collection notice. So that if you got a collection notice, you had to do that within 2 years. And the deadline prevented taxpayers in the dark. In other words, most people who have a spouse that's not paying, they don't know that. The spouse doesn't even tell them. So now you can seek relief, and you can get it whenever you find out. And, you know, hopefully you won't be penalized for what your spouse did. But it's something to think about before you buy something jointly. I don't think a lot of people really think about that. And I think you kind of should.
Yeah, and it's also good to make sure before you do get involved with someone you're going to marry in terms of buying something or having joint accounts, is to check your credit together and look at the credit together for both of you so you can see exactly what's going on.
Let me ask you, Tracy, now how do you ask someone that you're thinking of marrying? I know it's hard enough to ask for the prenup, but how do you ask them, well, I mean, I want to make sure you don't have AIDS, so let's get an AIDS test, and I want to make sure that we check your credit, or can you sneakily do it, or does somebody have to get permission?
Very romantic.
You know what you can do is say, you know, honey...
Well, that's why divorce is the way it is, because
right.
It's not romantic anymore. Go ahead.
The way I would do it is say, honey, why don't we get our credit reports together, sit down, look at our credit, see what we need to work on so that in the future when we're ready to buy a property or get whatever we want together, we know what we have in terms of challenges. Make it a unit kind of project.
Very smart. That's very smart and politically correct.
Exactly.
It doesn't sound like you're trying to find out.
And then
anything.
You say, get out of town when you see the credit.
Yeah, if it's bad, hit the road. Hit the road.
Sorry, it's over. No conversation.
Is this the first date now that you do this on? Tracy, do you pull the credit on the first date or wait a little while?
Wait for a couple of dates.
Well,
of dates.
It depends on what your goal is with the relationship.
Well, that's good. That's good. So, all right, Lynn. And one more question, and then we're going to get on with our show. Nick from Queens. Hi, Nick.
Yes, hello.
Yes, I'm here. How are you?
Hi, Daddy. This is Nick. I'm calling on behalf of my brother, George Blazewski. We manage a house together. And I've got a couple of quick questions for you. First of all, right now we're current on our mortgage. No lateness, no delinquencies or anything. Will the lender consider a short sale for that, in that kind of a scenario?
Well, we have the expert, Dottie, right?
Yeah, John, I haven't introduced him yet, but our short sale expert's on the phone. He's here in the studio in Bridgehampton, so why don't you just, sure. You're on the line, so why don't you answer that?
Yeah, hi, Nick. Basically, when it comes to that, it really is a it's lender-specific. It's hardship-specific. If you can show a lender that you actually do have a valid hardship, and you're taking basically money out of your savings, depleting your savings, it's you're showing your insolvency, and that's really what it comes down to. So it's really just a matter of presenting it properly to the lender.
But I should say, that even if you don't have late payments on your credit and you do a short sale, it's still going to have a dramatic effect on your credit report.
The reason why we're considering short sale is because we feel with the economy and everything and the way the business is going out there, we're just, you know, there's uncertainty. And, you know, we just want to be able to, unload one of the properties that we have that's probably not doing so well. And so we want to get out of that while we can, I guess.
What do you think about that, John?
I think a lot of people are facing this right now, and that's kind of what you're mentioning is pretty much, not really strategic short sale, but it's, it comes down to such a personal decision, and nobody can really tell you kind of what decision to make.
But, Nick, I've been reading a lot, and I don't know if this will affect you or not, but there is such a thing called, I think, Tracy, you really talked about it too, a strategic default, which the banks are looking at. In other words, they're looking at people who have enough income and are defaulting because it's part of their strategy.
Yes, they actually have a score now that they use to identify people who might be more likely to do a strategic default. But I think the key is with the short sale is if you can show hardship, then they're going to consider it. There's no guarantee. But the strategic defaulter has the money. They're not having a hardship. So it's a different scenario. If you're really showing the bank that there's hardship there and you can't afford that mortgage and there's enough proof of that, then they're going to consider allowing the short sale. But if it's obvious that you have the money to pay for that mortgage, that's a whole different story.
Yeah, for our listeners, I mean, we'll get more into it in a minute when we talk about short sales, but when you go to do a short sale and request approval, you have to submit your financials in what's called a hardship letter to the bank and explain why it is that you can't, survive this mortgage and you need to do a short sale.
Yeah, you just can't just say, let me just unload this house and
right.
do a short sale. You have to prove. And many a times, as you probably heard, callers call in and say, I tried to do something and they just said you have to do foreclosure before we'll even help you. So if you have money, I don't know that they'll do it.
If I could just ask one final question to the entire panel, whoever can answer this, I just need to get your feedback as far as the industry. Do you feel lenders are actually much more willing these days to work towards a short sale? Because in the past, I've had friends and family tell me that they have undergone so many difficulties getting a short sale where lenders just sit on the application.
It's much easier today than it used to be, is my experience.
What do you say, John? You deal with only John Brady, and I usually give his name for anybody who's asking, how do we get in touch with you?
The best number is 631-294-4216, or in my simple email, which is john@johnbrady.com.
Right. And John specializes. That's all he does. Do you find the lending? Because I know a lot of our callers have the same experience that Nick's talking about, that it's not been so easy.
Sure. I mean, I think it's very different when we first started about 6 years ago doing this. Now, a lot of the lenders has tried to streamline it through different, online portals. It's definitely going a lot quicker than it used to be. And I think the only factor as far as speed, it really comes down to who's doing it and what is their experience doing it. And that's really where the time factor comes in.
All right. Thanks, Nick. We have to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. And we're going to talk about what you should do before you sign a contract, and we're going to continue our conversation with short sales, credit, and financing them. And again, you're listening to 1-800-321-0710, and that's ION Real Estate. We'll be right back. Getting back to Jim's question, you have to make that decision. But I will tell you that Tracy will tell you about the credit because it does affect your credit differently. You want to tell everybody, Tracy, what the difference between what the difference between a foreclosure and a short sale is as to do with credit?
Well, the difference between a short sale and a foreclosure in terms of credit depends on your credit score. And that's the thing about credit. If, like Jim, has been late on his mortgage, how many times were you late on your mortgage, Jim?
Right now, it's probably up to about 5-6 months.
Okay.
It took a long time to try to do the modification.
Right. Once you're late 90 days on a mortgage, it takes 7 years to recover from that drop in your credit score if you don't hire a company like ours, like a credit restoration company. But just the natural time frame is 7 years. And the score drop for a 90-day late payment, depending on your credit score, is usually 100 points at least. So if you have a short sale or a foreclosure, if you have a very high score, you're looking at 7 years as well. So in terms of the credit score, the difference between a 90-day late payment on a mortgage, a foreclosure, and a short sale at a very high credit score is not really that much in terms of how long it's going to take to recover. But I want to just say that it's so important to see the whole picture before you make a decision, because it's not just what it's going to do to your credit. It's what your goals are in the near future. It's what kind of an income you're going to make in the near future. It's what your full credit looks like. It's very difficult to say exactly what you should do without seeing the whole picture.
Thanks, Tracy.
You're welcome.
And Jim, good luck. I have Camille on the line from New York. Question.
I own a house and I applied for a modification loan. I was going through some financial difficulties. When I applied for the loan, which I was rejected on, my credit rating dove down, and I then decided to borrow money from family and friends, and I paid off my mortgage. Shouldn't my credit rating improve or get better? It has remained in a negative state, and I can't get any credit for a store that I now own.
Yes, it should not get better because you paid your mortgage off. It actually drops because you closed an account. But it sounds to me like you might have a lot of other issues on the credit report, like late payments.
No, I don't have any issues. I'm quite solvent.
Not in terms of your own financial
mistake. Where I couldn't, I missed maybe one mortgage payment. Unfortunately, I got bad advice because someone said, why don't you apply for this new modification loan? And because I was put on a forbearance program, all of a sudden, my credit rating, as I said, went down. I then was given the forbearance money back, and I decided to heck with it. I borrowed money from friends and family.
Right.
Off my mortgage because I didn't want to deal with PNC Bank anymore or the government.
Right.
And now I'm ready to move on and proceed, and I still can't get my credit rating.
So, Paul, let me just explain to you. If you have one late payment on a mortgage, your score could drop over 100 points. So what I would advise you to do is to give me a call on Monday or shoot me an email, tracy@northshoreadvisory.com. Send me your credit report. I'll review it and see if I can help you.
Yeah, because, it almost seems that if you would pay something off that your credit, then your credit should go up.
Well,
but it's the opposite, you're saying.
Exactly.
So, that's why it's so important, because I have to tell you, most people don't know this.
I mean,
why would you even think it? So
right.
That's why we love having Tracy on, because she's an expert in how to fix that.
Yeah, and Paul, I'll review your report, and then I'll tell you exactly why your score isn't high enough, so at least you'll know, if nothing more.
What's the email?
It's tracy@northshoreadvisory.com.
Thank you so much.
Thanks,
Thank you.
Paul. Anthony?